السلام والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. عن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه قال: اهتدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حجرة مخصصة فصلى فيها فتتبع إليه رجال وجاءوا يصلون بصلاته. الحديث: وفيه أفضل صلاة المرء في بيته إلا المقصودة. متفق عليه. From Zayd ibn Thabit, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one who was among the compilers of the Quran, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, احتضر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حجرة مخصصة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made a small room from mat. فصلى فيها, and he prayed in this small room. That is, he made a small room of mat. He made it in the mosque. فصلى فيها, and you pray in it. فَتَتَبَّعَ إِلَيْهِ رِجَالٌ. So some other men joined the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَجَاءُوا يُصَلُّونَ بِصَلَاتِهِ, and were praying following the prayer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. To the end of the hadith, the author says, وَفِيهِ, in the hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أفضل صلاة المرء في بيته إلا المكتوبة. The best salah of a man is the one observed in his house, except the composed one. متفق عليه في حديث في صحيح البخاري, likewise in صحيح مسلم. Now, Zayd ibn Thabit رضي الله عنه was narrating the incident that happened in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do something like i'tikaf in the mosque, as we know. So he took a small room made of mat. So in the night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make it. Then in the day, he would dismantle it so that he would allow those who wanted to pray, but in the night he would do that. So when the companions, they saw him doing that, they could hear his voice in the small room that he had made in the mosque. So they came, they joined him, and they were praying with him. So this is the first time, that is the first night. The second night, the third night, they were expecting him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not show up. So he now told them in the morning that followed, that مَا فَعَلَيْهَ صَلَيْهُكُمْ, what the people were doing was not an obedience from me. I was aware that you people, you were around. In some of the reports in the Bukhari and the Muslim, it was said that some of them were doing pilgrimage at the door of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to invite him to the mosque. Some of them were knocking at the door gently. Some of them doing pilgrimage because they were waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come out. So he came out, and containing one report, he said, Mughdaban, vexed. And he said, مَا فَعَلَيْهِ صَلِيرُكُمْ, what you people are doing was not even from you. I was aware of what you are doing as well. Nothing. I could see all that. But what I fear is that it may be made compulsory on you. It may be made compulsory on you. So the Prophet of Allah said in that hadith, أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةُ الْمَرْءِ, أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةُ الْمَرْءِ في بيته إلا المكتوبة. The first salah that somebody will observe the word that is observed in the house. And that Matuba accepts the compulsory one. Accepts the compulsory one. Now, what we benefit from this? We benefit that the companions of the Prophet were always eager to learn more about the deen, at the same time to also practice whatever they learn. Seeing the story, Prophet observed this salah, they felt it would work to be an act of ibadah. You know, it would be in one and one. So they joined the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as part of their eagerness to fetch more rewards. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not drive them, but he looked for a way of correcting that, and that is by not showing up. Because at that time, Wahyu was giving reviews. Wahyu was giving reviews at that time. So the verse may come, I want to be reviewed. That people should be praying it that way. And they may not be able to continue it. So the Prophet of Allah alayhi wa sallam now practically corrected them by not showing up. So we see the eagerness of the companions to do better or to do more in the area of the deen. And we also see how kind the Prophet Allah was and merciful to his ummah. What he knew would be difficult for them to do, the Prophet Allah did not impose it on them. And that's why the Prophet Allah did not say that it's a must that you afterwards observe Tarawih. And himself would do it. But it did not say that what is the most you have to do it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that فَقْرَوْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ عَلِمًا سَيَكُونُ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى وَآخَرُونَ يَتِيبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ فَقْرَوْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ قُرْآنِ. At the beginning it was like it was compulsory on them and it was preserved the other day. Allah said, Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil, Qum al-layla illa qalila. Nisfahu aw inqus minhu. Aw inqus minhu qalila. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that you were of the village. إِنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَيِ اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَهُ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ صُلُوحَ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَاقْرَؤُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for them. Made it easy for them that they recite what is convenient for them, except the compulsory salah. But when the companions saw the Islam observing it, they didn't want to like to join him. They saw him fasting, as we saw, that he will fast about 3 days, he will not eat anything. About 3 days, he will not eat anything. He will not break. There will be no default. Like that. Some of the companions, when they saw him doing this, they wanted to elevate him. And the Prophet of Allah said, you can't emulate me in this. Inni abitu yut'imuni wa yaskini rabbi. He said, when I sleep, my Lord yut'imuni gives me food and Lord gives me drink. So you are not like that. You are not like that. So he now practically discouraged them from doing this all. Yes, some companions they said, well, there was no harsh on God, we'll do it. So they continued to do it. So he was the one with the Prophet of Allah. So in essence, that what it was almost time for Ramadan. The Prophet of Allah said that if not Ramadan had come, I would have continued it. And you people would have watched, would have felt tired of that. Because I've told you that what you are not like me. But it is because it is so that what was not asked from them. That it was just, you know, it was merciful and was showing pity for them. That was why it was discouraging them from doing that. So the same thing applied here. So when they saw him praying, they joined him. And he was being before the second. He told me they were expecting to come, but not didn't show up. So when people were praying devils at his door, so he came up, well, Doman, very angry. He said, Ma fa alayya, so you know, what he was doing was not hidden from me. For Hashid and two for the Arab. I fear that it may be made compulsory on you. So that is the attitude and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he saw somebody who saw a rope tied in the box, said, what is this? Who has this rope? Who has done it? He said, it's Zaydan. He said to them, cut it off. Take upon yourself from the actions of the Ibadah what you can do. For Allah will not feel or get weary. Unless you get weary, that is, you will be the one to get weary. Get tired. Allah will not get weary as a result of that. So if you do what you'll be able to do. And that was when Aisha was asked concerning the ibadah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the best act of the ibadah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved. She said that what? Ahabbul amal, the best of the actual result, adwamuha, the one that continues. So what you cannot do, don't take it upon yourself. And this is all the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preached to his companions. So it's blessing to them, we can understand it from it. Then what does that mean that it is not wrong for us to take a portion of the mosque for ibadah, for itikaf? This is also permissible. The Prophet of Allah will do this. And that was why some of his wives, Aisha of Alaya, wanted to do the itikaf. She also erected her own tent in the masjid. So when one of the wives saw Aisha radhiyallahu anha did that, she also wanted to do that. She also erected her own tent. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the woman and said, tent here, he said, this man too was tent. And he himself did not do itikaf that year. That is, that it is not very difficult in that Ramadan. Because he discovered that his wives, they are like one competing over his thing. Not to compete, just for competition, what say. But this has now become maybe a kind of competition that, you know, you are a wife, I'm also a wife. So the Prophet of Allah did not want something like this to continue. Because now father may also come, then Sophia will come like that. And there will be many deaths in the mosque. They asked them to dismantle that. But it is permissible to erect such a thing in the mosque because the Prophet of Allah erected it. You also benefit from it that you can still behind somebody that you can't see. As long as what you can hear the voice, and you can see the action, that somebody that in a close place, you can hear the voice, or you can see the action. Maybe the mosque is filled up, so people are praying for salvation. So those who could see the imam, who were praying the imam, those who could not see the imam, maybe they could hear the voice of the imam, or they could see those who could see the imam. So this is permissible. One of the evidences is this, that the Prophet was observing the salah in what? In the tent. And people were also following because they could see it. However, we must endeavor that the rules are what are established. Take for instance somebody is in out or a house wanting to follow this man in the man because he or she could hear the voice. This is not okay. So the sufu must be connected. The sufu must be connected. And if the sufu is unable to be connected, so one should at least have an excuse that is because the sub cannot be connected. Not that one is not to join the sub. Not that no to join the sub. And that's why if you go to Haram, out of Mecca, there is a hotel very close to the Haram, to the masjid, called the Al-Tufiq. So there is, you know, a little gap, so to say, between the mosque and that hotel. Now, in the first floor of the hotel, there is a place called masjid there. So for people who pray in that place, following the imam in the heart, this will not be correct unless if the sufu is mutasila, if the sufu is not, the sufu are connected. That these people have filled all the mosque and they have extended out. The outside is also filled up. And part of the outside result is hard to tell. So then you can pray in the hotel, in the fourth floor, following the imam. But without that, if the outside result fills up, so that the imam will be inside, then he will be in the hotel and will be following that result is not correct. Then the Prophet of Allah said, after the Salat of Man, he may kill them not to them. Except for Allah, a man is the one that is praying in his house, except the composed one. That should have watched. As a man, you have to pray in the mosque. You have to pray Jama'ah in the mosque as a man. The women, it is not a mosque that is praying in the mosque. And it is not the case that you pray in the mosque. But the Prophet of Allah alayhi wa sallam said, that is no ima Allah ibn Sallallahu. Don't prevent the female servants of Allah from coming to the mosque. But the women will bring to him nothing. But their salah in their houses is better. Their salah in their houses is better. But do not prevent them from coming to the mosque. But as for the men, they have to pray in the mosque. Except for the genuine excuse in the Sharia. There is sick and something like that. But without any genuine excuse, you have to pray Jama'ah in the mosque. As for the Nawafil, it is better you observe it in the house. Now the Prophet of Allah alayhi wa sallam prayed it in the mosque. The Prophet of Allah alayhi wa sallam also said what? The bed is not the one of that in the house. So if prayer is in the mosque, shows that what it is permitted to do to pray the wafil in the mosque. But the bed is for us to pray it at home. So the Prophet of Allah will do some things that you have some other things that are better than them, just to tell us that it's permissible to do these things as well. But we told them that what it is better for them to pray in the houses, except if the Salah is compulsory. Now if you see some people, they will abandon all this, and they will look for where they will pray in Afila, maybe in Tafaba Lewa or so. And the best Nafila you can observe is that in your house, that is the best Nafila. There are some scholars also from the food from these that it is not sunnah for one to be praying Taraweeh like that, because the Prophet of Allah did not continue it that way. He only preached 11 salah for about 3 days or so, or 2 days, and did not show up anymore. So the best thing is for one not to continue it. That is, the best is for you to pray with your family at home, not to come to the mosque to pray Taraweeh. Some scholars understood it this way. That is the position of Sheikh Mughbil, rahmahullah ta'ala. And the other scholar, Ali Mahmoud, tilted towards this opinion. The majority of the scholars of the past and present, they have the opinion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established the permissibility. But the reason why it did not continue is what he said, khashitu and so forth alaykum. I'm afraid that we made compulsion on you. And since his death, there's no more wahi. I will not make something compulsion. And that's every time of Allah, the line, he saw people praying the more scattered. So Allah, the line, he said, now jama'atukum ala qarin wahi. Let me gather you people all behind one reciter. And he appointed the reciter to be leading them for this sort of great scattered in the mosque. But Prophet was alive himself, will not join again. So one day he came out and he saw them praying. He said, well, let the Ramuda Anha have done. Then he said that he sleep off. That is the time that what he lives, that is the last part of the ascendant, is what is better. So Prophet was the Amir, was the Khalifa. He will not join them in the Salah in the Taraweeh. But his sanction was, they are praying together, instead of praying scattered. Because the basic thing remains that what you can pray nafila in the mosque. You can pray what? Nafila in the mosque. That's the basic. Only it's not the best. The best is for you to pray on the office at home. So for people who will be praying scattered, this one because they like the tradition of this, will pray behind this. In the same mosque, another person will be leading for that. In the same mosque, another person will be leading. So Umar of Allah did not like the way they were scattered in the mosque with different imams. So he now gave them, he appointed for them one imam that will be leading them. So but the best remains as such. The best is for us to pray it in the house. That is the best. But it is permissible to do it. Now, it continued from the time of Umar of Allah, like that, that we will be praying Taraweeh in Jama'ah. And a lot of scholars, the service is better, and it's only the best. Because the Prophet of Allah said, "Man sallama al-imam, whoever prays with the imam, hatta yansarifa." If the imam finishes the salah, kutiba lahu qiyamul layl. It will be written for him as if he has what? Prayed all night. So if it's for only this reward, for one to pray behind the imam, the mosque, it is better. They are praying at home. I will not get what? The reward of Qiyam al-Layla. But if you pray in the mosque, with the imam you get Qiyam al-Layla with respect to the Taraweeh. This hadith was said that when Abu Dhaqa, one of the companions of Sundayn Nasai, asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he led them in Salat Taraweeh, one of those days that we were talking about. So he now concluded it at the middle of the night. So Abu Dhabi said, O Messenger of Allah, Laula Fazana Bakiya Balilatina. Why can't you complete the remaining part of the night so that we'll get full reward of praying all night? So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uttered that statement, Man salla man imam hatta yansarifa. So whoever prays with the imam until the imam finishes, kutiba lahu Qiyam al-Layla. It will be written for him as Qiyam al-Layla. وَعَنْ جَابِرٍ مِنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ رَضَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. From Jabir, the son of Abdullah, may Allah refuse both of them. قال, he said, صَلَّى مُعَادُ لِأَصْحَابِ الْإِشَاءَ. Mu'ad led his people in Salat of Isha. فَطَوَّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And lengthened the recitation. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا لم يقل الله ناصرك أتريد أن تقول يا معاذ فتانا قل معاذ Do you want to be causing inconvenience for the people? إذا أمنت الناس If you let the people فقرا بالشمس والضحى Recite الشمس والضحى وقل باسم ربك الأعلى وكفر باسم ربك الأعلى واقرأ باسم ربك Read اقرأ باسم ربك والليل إذا يخشى Read والليل إذا يخشى متفق عليه As it's upon by Muslim and Bukhari, but not really Muslim. The wording is for Muslim. Now what do you benefit from this? It happened that Mu'adh of the line would pray the Ayat of Surah Allah. He would pray the Lord Isha with him. So after that, he would go to his tribe. They would be waiting for him to leave them in the Salat of Isha. They will be waiting for him to lead them in Salah of Isha. So when Mu'adh radiallahu anhu went back or got back to his people, he would say something like Surah Al-Baqarah or something like Surah Al-Nisa. Now the people have been waiting for him to come. The people have been waiting for him to come. So when he came back, he would say something like Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Nisa. So a man now pulled out and he prayed alone at the corner of the mosque. Now what happened, the majority of the people praying behind Mu'adh, they were in support of Mu'adh. So they all attacked the man, and Mu'adh also attacked him by saying the munafiq. So this man, you know, that thing did not go down well with him. Why calling him munafiq? So he went to report the case to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this, he said to him, "How will you? What will you decide?" He said, "I will send to the Fatiha and I will ask Allah so and so and so and so." After the old Gadana and the Gadana of Mu'adh, but no understand this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "How will I understand this? What you have said, what you ask Allah, is the same thing as you are asking Allah." In that sense of Mu'adh. So in that sense of Mu'adh that people have said so and so. Are you a fatan? Do you want to be fatan to the people? Do you want to cause inconvenience to the people? So the Prophet Allah corrected Mu'adh. And now told him what he will reach. So I read something like Ashanti wa Duha, do something like Ikra, Bismarabika. It be something like Walini Daksha, something like that. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu took to this correction. And he would not read lengthy chapters whenever he led the people in Salah. Because among them there are those who could not hear it. Among them there are those who are Samara needs to attend to. Among them there are the weak ones. So, we benefit from this, the way the Prophet of Allah Salaam is mercy, is kindness to his people, to his ummah. The Prophet of Allah Salaam was said that was told, or it was said of the Prophet of Allah Salaam that he would not be given two options, except that he chose the one that is easier. He chose the easier of the two options given to him. Not because of him, but because of what? Because of his ummah. So the same thing he told Mu'adh was a line here. At least one Takura Fatah. You want to be Fatah to the people? Read so and so. And Mu'adh in Jabal radiallahu anhu would know the position of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu in this ummah. The Prophet Allah Ta'ala sent him to Yemen. It was one that man told that Ul Mu'adh is Nagatahi Kawman Hala Kitabi. He was going to meet a people of the scripture. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَنْ تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْكَ شَهَادَةُ اللَّهِ إِلَى إِلَّا Let the first thing that you call them to invite them to do what? To testify that I do that in worthy of worship except Allah. So it was the brother of the Prophet وسلم, in Yemen for some time. Who was in Yemen for some of the Khulafa after the Prophet of Allah. The Prophet of Allah talked about Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, one of those who know who al-halal al-haram is Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu. Of one that knew about judgment. So, when Mu'adh made mistake, the Prophet Allah corrected him. The Prophet Allah corrected him. He said, no, it's Mu'adh. And Mu'adh did not say, yeah, but Prophet, you know my status now. He took to that correction and he adjusted. For people to complain about people, this is natural. Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, who is known as Mustajab al-Da'wa, whose prayer is always answered. We call him Mustajab al-Da'wa. The people of Kufa, the West of Umar, radiallahu anhu, complain about Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas, as for this Sahih Muslim, saying that he will lay in the Salah, he will do this, he will do that. Umar prayed for him. And when Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas came, said that all people had come to complain about you. Said, this is how we lead them in Salah, we lead so and so and so. Said, this is what I thought of you. When people came, complained, you know, I listened to them. Yes, Umar did not become Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas. He changed him. And put all that thought in the head. In fact, that thought did not have anything against him. He is not to put the people in trouble because those who have been complaining. It was said that one of those who launched that complaint against Allah was Allah. Father Allah, and Allah said, oh Allah, if this man is truthful in his complaint of his, oh Allah, do so and so for him. But if this man is lying in his complaint of his, oh Allah, I want you to do so and so for him. So he was said that this man, when he grew old, where he could not see clearly, he was just, you know, performing anyhow, falling here and there. And he would say, oh, I fall back to me, that I was inspired. It is the cause of such that has affected me. So what you are saying, in essence, is that if one is corrected, you take to correction, as long as those the truth is clear to you. The truth has come to you. So Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu did not have anything against that man anymore, since the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not support his action. And this man, according to some of the texts, he has some other things to do. Someone has gone out looking for what to eat, trying to take care of their camels and the like. They only to pray Isha and go to bed. There's no one without lengthening the Salah, lengthening it. So he got in trouble before the Prophet of Allah Salah, and the Prophet of Allah Salah living with the man. The man, a companion, Mu'adh bin Jabal, a companion. So, what somebody in our time to learn such a complaint now, you know what people will say about him. So the Prophet Allah still corrected the situation and advised Mu'adh of Allah to read so and so. Read this, read this. Another hadith of the Prophet Allah said, فَإِنَّ وَرَاعَكَ الضَّعِيفُ وَالْسَقِيمُ وَذَا الْحَاجَةِ. Because behind you are الضَّعِيفُ, those who are weak, those who are sick, for that haja, those who have other things to attend to. So benefit from this that we have to consider those that you are leading. Not because you are a good inciter, you have been read so and so surah, you have been read so and so, you have been read out of the Quran, or you have been read the whole Quran. Then you have to see the people as those that you react to your memorization. No. If you want to do that, you do that on your own. The Prophet Allah said, إِذَا صَلَّ أَحْدُكُمْ إِذَا أَمَّ أَحْدُكُمُ النَّاسِ فَيُخَفِّفْ. If any one of you leads the people, you should make it what? Church. He said, وَإِذَا صَلَّ النَّاسِهِ is praying himself or is praying alone, فَيُطَوِّلْ مَشَاءَ. He should lengthen it the way he likes. Nobody will stop. As well as what? He can be a fruitful male amal is not what he could. Somebody wants to re-add his memorization, he wakes up around maybe 11 or 12, and he continues to do it for. No, as long as it's not going to affect the composition on him, it's not going to affect the fashion, as long as it's not going to affect him and the case of his work, maybe he's employed by somebody, being paid, and when he gets there, he starts sleeping. This is what, why do you continue? So now that the person should go, and you should understand that after all, we have to do the ayata of what has memorized. You should understand. No. Islam has not said what he should accept that from you. Because what you have learned also compels you. So if you know this thing is not going to affect you, there is no harm. But for you to just see an opportunity now, you remember that you have memorized what you need to have memorized what so. And when you are reading, it's not that what you are just going to recite. Give me some verses to leave them like that. Out of Surah Al-Nisa, or out of Surah Al-Baqarah, out of just you read, the lesson that told you, put the people into problems. Some of them be grumbling behind you, complaining. Now they are in Salah. Salah is supposed to be what? We're supposed to be blessing for them. We're supposed to be mercy for them. If you have Salah, do not watch, they will be complaining again, which may affect the reward of the Salah. Because this Salah is not being observed with tumanina, with tranquility anymore. And now by the Prophet of Allah at the land, the Salah will always be complete and perfect. And that was why Anas of the land is describing the Prophet of Allah. He said, I have not been behind any person that is not, whose Salah is brief and complete like that of the, and perfect like that of the Prophet of Allah wa alayhi wa sallam. ما صليت خلف أحد أتم صلاة ولا أكثر صلاة من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is all Islam will do. But if he's praying the Lord, he will lengthen it to any life. And that was why when I think for this in Yamar of the Lion of the 11th Masjid, he was praying and he joined in. The Prophet of Allah did not invite him, he joined in. Then he was reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. He thought he would stop at verse 100. No, continue, finish Baqarah. Then he jumped to Nisa. Continue like that. Then he finished it. Ali Imran, come back to Ali Imran. He said, for a month to be soon. He said, what? I thought of people. The father said, what thing is that? He said, I thought of what living in. In the first instance, he did not invite me. So he joined. So, but when we are leading people, we should also consider them and look at the case of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu as learned as he was, and the case of that man who said what he said. Both of them were companions of the Prophet. The Prophet supported that man and collected Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. So, this connection due to Mu'adh is something that we should also benefit from it, and consider the people when you are leading them. This thing is what is common. Maybe you are leading people in the Salah now. You know that the mosque is filled to capacity. And people are outside, maybe in the sun. And you continue to lengthen it, those people will be sweating profusely, and you continue to lengthen it. No. You have to consider the people borrowing from the lesson of Mu'adh in general of the line, and that older man who lodged complaints to the Prophet concerning Mu'adh. So these are some of the lessons that we benefit from this hadith. Inshallah, we stop here. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So I'm just going to take a question from our friends. So inshallah.
We are saying before, if somebody is wearing a mask without shoes, first of all, effectively they're going to need to talk. Now, is there any given this and that. Allah is fast in front of the That is very important.
Not one is very sensible. Is one that is sinful for not taking sufferer. One who is passing in front of him is not sinful. Because what the Prophet of Allah says is that Al-Marru bayna yadi al-Musalli, la ya'lam al-Marru bayna yadi al-Musalli mada alayhi, la kana yasifu arba'in al-Sani. So the one who is passing in front of the one who is praying, even though the sin on him, he would have worked with it for 40. So, this is Musalli that takes sutra. But the Musalli that does not take sutra, himself is what is guilty of this. So he still prefers that to pass somewhere far away from his place of sujood. So in order to go away from the controversy here. So you pass in a place far away from his place of sujood. The highest that is the maximum is what is the place of the sujood. So if you pass in front of the one that is praying, that is before his place of sujood, one is sinful. If the person is using sutra, if he is not using sutra, the Jesus Christ said was is not sinful because it's the person who has not taken sutra. But to go out of this controversy, it is better you pass in a place distant from is place of the sujood or not.
Pardon? Sir, this time when they go out walking in the bus, now we need to do the ask. They want to do what to do, but they are all like ask one question. Now if I tell someone,
what should be dawah to that person, let him know the gravity of walking in this conventional vines that deal in the river. And let him know the gravity of that. So because al-mu'min or Muslim ma'ul Muslim. So we are brothers to one another. Now the Prophet of Allah said, where the line says, إِذَا رَأَ فِي عَيْبًا أَصْلَحَهُ. If he sees any eye, any defect in him, he tries to correct him. So when you see your brother maybe doing something that is wrong or walking in a haram place, you try to correct him. So if you know that going to that place is going to assist him, and you're not going there, it's going to cause harm, it may cause big problem, you may go. So what he has invited you for? The wealth is haram on him, not on you. It's haram on him, not on you. Somebody is dealing in riba. If he gives you something and you take it, the fatwa is at what? You can take it. The fatwa is at what? You can take it. Because that thing is not haram on you, haram on him. The money term is not haram. It's the way that he has gotten the money that is haram. So whatever it is made haram because of the way one has gotten it, not because of that particular thing is haram, but the way the person has gotten it, it's haram at a castle. It is haram on the one who has gotten it, not the person that he has given it to. This is the position of Sheikh Solomon Hussein of Nawla Ta'ala. However, some scholars of the opinion that it's even haram on you to take it or to do that, to go to that place. But the more correct opinion is that what it is not haram for you to go there. But at the same time, you have to choose that opportunity as da'wah for that person. Because the Jews, they will eat riba. And they will invite the Prophet of Allah for some things. For food, you will go. You present for him, you eat. So and your people dealing in what? In riba. Yes, you accept their invitation. If you look at it from that angle, you say it was permissible. Abdullah bin Mas'ud was asked as contained in the Sunnah of the Razak. He was asked companion, somebody eating the food of somebody who is dealing with riba. They call لك المعنى وعليه المعصم. You eat it conveniently. لك المعنى وعليه المعصم. So he's going to bear the sin. The sin is not what on you. So this is the fatwa of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu on this matter. So if he invites you to ask for me, you can go, but try to also give da'wah. Some of us, may Allah assist us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet fair. Now when you know that somebody is working in a haram place, maybe working in bank or something like that, who will be praying that he should not resign because of what you are getting from him? I pray and if you watch, may this person continue to work there. Because maybe he gives you trying to hide what under the sin is what is on him, not on him. Now we should try and assist our brother. So you should not be stingy with what with your admonition to him. Despite the fact that he gives you, you still watch, invite him after you say, ah, this place that you are working in is haram, you know this. Despite the fact that what he gives you, you still watch, remind him that what, you still remind him that where he's working is what, is haram. Not that because you have been eating there, you keep quiet. You are not assisting matter, at the same time, you are not being sincere in Allah. Our sister, we wear trousers. Now, there is no text that says a sister cannot wear trousers. There is no text that says a sister cannot wear trousers. But can a sister dress like a man? The answer is what? No. The Prophet of Allah calls those women who behave like men and those men who behave like women. So the Prophet of Allah calls them. So the fact that the sister is putting on for that, the woman what? She's appearing like a man. In the sense on she way or on the way she wears the trouser. Huh? And the type of what? The trouser. So if she puts on a trouser and she's putting on the jalabiya or the bag that covers every part of the body. Maybe what can be seen is what is the stain on the end of the trauma. Maybe that's the only thing that can be seen. It is what is good. In fact, it's encouraged to do that. There's no more any scholar that says one cannot, that a woman cannot dress that way. There is no scholar that says it. There is a hadith that is ba'if that the Prophet said what Hashem Allah mutasarrif bilak min al nisa. May Allah have mercy on those women who are putting on trousers. But the hadith is very, why do your 10 people have been what? A very good area. But the hadith is very, but the issue still remains what? As long as if the woman is appearing, she's not appearing like a man, she can dress the way she likes. And the most important thing is that what? The aura should not be exposed, the body should not be described, and this is fulfilled. Whether she's putting on 10 jalabiya or 15 or 20 or 5 or 3, Islam is not only after how many layers of the garment the woman is putting on. What matters is what is the clothes she's putting on covering her aura. That is what matters most. Is it describing her shape or not? That is what matters. Because we see some sisters as well, you know, they're saying, okay, they see that God as a kind of improvement. He says she has been putting on Shanu now or Albania or whatever. So there is no text that says your garment must be Albania or must be Shadow or must be this. The most important is whatever garment you are putting on must not describe your shape, must be thick enough, must be something that is baggy, must cover you from head to toe. That is what is compulsory. Whether it is 3 folds or 5 folds or 10 folds, that is left to you. So this is very, very important because you see some people who put that until that, their shape will be exposed. So in essence, that those who are putting on the jilbab that is not as big as theirs, that is not as long as theirs, will see the better. So let us take care of this and don't let us fight people or quarrel with people over whether it is Albani or is this or that. The color, there is no color that the woman cannot put on. There are evidences that the wife of the Prophet Allah will put on green, will put on red. All the Sheikh Al-Bani brought in his book, his Babylon mother. Now, in Saudi Arabia, they discourage women from putting on white garments. That is in Saudi Arabia. That is their own culture. There is no text that says that a woman should not put on what? White garments. There is no text that says that. But the culture is that men generally put on white garments. This is the idea that I'm putting on. It's difficult for you to see a Saudi man putting on black or red or blue jalabiya. Most of the time, God is white. So that is their own culture. White garments for men. So the women there, most of the time, black. But is it haram to put on white garments in Saudi Arabia? One may not think it's haram, but it's what? It's discouraged. Because this is something that has been peculiar with the news. So trying to dress in a way that is different from the way people of Iman dress in your society may be seen as what putting on Saudi Shuhra, the garment of show off. And the Prophet of Allah said, Man labisa Saudi Shuhra in the dunya, and Bataru Allah, Yawm al Qiyamati, Saudi Mazanda. So whoever puts on the garment of show off in this world, Allah will put children or cotton to wear on the day of Qiyamah, the garment of humiliation. May Allah save us from this. So you dress the way of people dress. At least your people of Iman, people of Taqwa, not the way the rituals in the society dress Allah. Now this is also a better discourage not to be, particularly when it's going to invite or call the attention of men, but it has to do with society as well. Allah. Can a woman wear a pattern coat like Ankara or lace? Is there any possible prohibition that? If what you mean is that can she use that as the outer garment that will be seen? But I personally do not know a text that prohibits that. I personally do not know a text that prohibits that. But at the same time, we have to look at what the way the Ankara or whatever. Is this something that's going to invite all the attention of people to us? Even this type of Ankara, then it is what? It is not permissible because of what we will invite. For if it's not the one that we will invite the attention of people, then there is no text that says that. Anas of the man was contained in Sunan Abi Dawud said, I saw Ummu Kulthum, the daughter of the Prophet of Allah, and I'm putting on Burdan Siyara, and that is the kind of sick. So Anas of the land was not related to Ummu Kulthum, brother Allah. So he said that what he saw Ummu Kulthum putting on Burdan Siyara, that is a sick garment that has a kind of line on it. So that shows it is permissible, but one should be careful. Whenever a woman is going to call the attention of men with the garment that she's putting on, then it's haram. Now this is not applicable to lace. It's not applicable to lace. You know, this one it has the old and the light. So a woman who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shouldn't put on that, except by covering it with something else that will not make people to see it. What is the difference between Sobri and
Anat?
Maybe Anat. Sobri is patient. Anat is for one to be careful, for one to maybe do things gently. There are two different things. Sobri is for one to be patient. Maybe something has affected you, maybe you be patient for you. But Anna is for you not to for you not to do things just honestly. When you are doing things, you do them with ease, not with agenda, not with with hate. But most of the things that we do with hate, you will get them wrong. That's the issue. Please, is it allowed to pray any other Tawaf place in Jama'ah, like Tahajjud, apart from Taraweeh, Ramadan? If this is done without any fixing of the time, fixing of the day, there is no problem with that. Maybe you visit a friend of yours that is praying, you join him, he's praying, Tahajjud, you join him, there is no harm. But for you to make it something that to be a monthly issue, or a weekly issue, or a quarterly issue, or a yearly issue. So this is what is bid'ah. This is bid'ah. And those who are doing things like that, when you ask them evidence for what they are doing, they quote some of us, some of the same Imam Nawawi said so and so, Ibn Hajar said so and so. If these people are sincere, you know that Ibn Hajar is in one party, they are also in another party. Now, if one of those who are talking about doing this thing, if it just happens like that, they are not talking about 15 the day of the week, that every day of the week, every day, you will be doing it, maybe every Sunday. Most of us know all this rubbish. That okay, the Sunday after last week that people are going to do, or the Sunday Tahajjud, or the last Sunday of the month, the Tahajjud. Where did Ibn Hajar say this? Where is Nawawi saying this? What we are talking about is, can we do this in Jama'ah? Yes, we can do it in Jama'ah. If there is what? If maybe there is a need for it, and shouldn't be a constant practice. This is the fatwa of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also the one and many others. But for you to make it a constant issue, there is no scholar of Sunnah that is saying this. To make it a constant issue, there is no scholar of Sunnah that is saying this. But for to do this, because it just happens suddenly, there is no harm in this. And no scholar of Sunnah is what is against this as well. Except for maybe reciting the Quran, maybe together, for purpose of learning. Imam Malik from Allah Ta'ala's position is that what? He does not support it. He does not support it. But a lot of scholars support deciding to be Quran together with the purpose of learning, not the purpose of what? Of dua. So this is permission. Allah. No. If it happens once in a while, there is no harm. But once it becomes constant, the answer is what is no. Because anything that is constant, it means that what is part and parcel of Islam that you do that. And that will look like what? The Juma prayer will look like the early prayer and the like. And that was why I imagine when saying our Imam Abu Ta'ala in his book, his beloved Mustafa Mukhayyat al-Ashab Jahim, spoke on this and he condemned it. Some of those who will say this decree in Jama'ah, this thing is permissible. So he was condemning those who say this. When he was told that somebody said you can't be said that person was Kafir and was Shilosh. So when I went to his house, I asked him, do you have this book? He said, yes. He brought out the book. And I opened Ibn Taymiyyah's comments in his law, and I read it out to him. He said, no, I spoke to Luyen. Now, why didn't you say this when you were presenting and attacking people? Now that you have seen what tens of other scholars or scholars that whom you have already quoted to have taken your position, when you see what they wrote, he said, no, I spoke to Luyen. And that was my watch. He shut up on that issue. But was he convinced? He will still go ahead to show what this thing is permissible. And that should some people they already take a position. And if what they are not doing, what looking for evidence. And that is what Islam. Islam is at what it is when you see evidence to take a position. Hopefully if you have taken a position before, based on some evidence that are clear to you, if you see superior evidence is what is binding on you, what is for the current. That is the position of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah. All this is about that you have been, are you being for anybody? You are being to get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why is it that what you cannot return position in which you see that what you have failed, you have made a mistake? And what you attack the people of this when they refuse to do similar things? So because I personally, I wonder, and I imagine things like this. If you are attacking somebody, a Sufi man, who has talked to a video that is doing, if you are attacking that is not is not holding onto the truth, now you are also presented with the truth. And you still it and continue to argue fruitlessly, you continue to argue just blindly. Then what is the difference between you and that truth? It's not the same thing. It's because you are just fortunate once to be guided to the Sunnah. That's why you are the Sunnah. Ordinarily, you would have got the worse than that Sufi man. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct our prayer. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Brother Abdul Wakil Ajalai is working on brothers and sisters to the black people of his daughter tomorrow morning, 4th of March, at 7th Avenue, Enclose House 1, Festival Camillus, 2:10 p.m. After the Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad, Hashem, and Allah.